Hi, welcome to the Barry Nation podcast, where we support the bariatric community with humor, humility, and honesty. I'm April.
I'm Jason.
I'm Natalie.
Today, we have the honor of welcoming a new expert to the podcast, Mr. Derek, the giant therapist. Hello, Fred.
What's going on?
We are so excited to talk to you. The conversation that we're going to have today has been one that we have actually been wanting to have for a very long time. It continues to come up again and again and again in our community. And it can be a little bit challenging finding somebody that has the expertise and kind of the ability to talk about relationships, connected relationships, not only just as a human issue, but as a bariatric issue, right? With that lens on top of it. And it can just be hard to really kind of open up and say, we don't really know how to do relationships well. And then on top of that, I'm a completely different person. So the fact that you are excited to join us for this conversation just means the world to us. So thank you.
Well, I appreciate you. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. So before we kind of dive into the topic, I think I'd like to just give you the floor. Derek, will you introduce yourself to our audience if they don't know you yet?
Yeah, for sure. So Derek Colvin, I'm a licensed professional counselor in Oklahoma. I am currently in the Gottman certification track for marriage therapy. So I don't know if you guys are familiar with John and Julie Gottman. They've been doing research in the marriage and couples field for 40 to 50 years at this point. Super dope method. I mean, very, very, very effective. It really has completely changed the way that I do couples therapy and look at relationships. I graduated with my master's in 2017, been in the field since then working, was actually specialized. My master's was focused to child play therapy. Somehow, some way got working with couples, in my grad program and, really just fell in love with it. Fascinated by relationships and really believe that every relationship can work if both people are willing to do the work, you know, no matter where they are. And that's the good thing about the Gottman method is that they say, you know, you could come in hating your spouse and have years of just dysfunction and whatever going on. And if you're willing to do the work, you can rebuild your relationship no matter what it looks like. You just have to be willing to do the work, and it's hard. And so I just love that. I've been married for almost 23 years at this point. I'm not only just a believer in couples therapy, but a believer in couples. You know, I really do believe in that. So I think that we can last forever if we want to. So, and we're really in an epidemic, I would say an epidemic in America, where at this point, 69% of first marriages end in divorce. 75% of second marriages and it's like 83 for third marriage, and it just keeps going higher and higher the more you get married. And so it really is something that everybody needs more work on and more help on and more information on.
Those numbers are shocking. I mean, I knew it was bad, but I didn't know it was that bad.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it's wild. Yeah.
We were talking about this earlier before.
Hi friends, it's April. We are so excited to officially announce that ProCare Health is the official vitamin of Barry Nation. We were introduced to ProCare Health at the first Bariatric Society retreat in San Diego, and we have all fallen in love with our product and with the people behind the company. Jason, Natalie, and I have all made the switch to ProCare Health daily bariatric multivitamins, and we are seeing huge results. We invite you to check out ProCare Health by visiting them online at www.procarenow.com and use the code BARRYNATION for 10% off your order. And you guys, this even applies to vitamin subscriptions. Services. So if you want your vitamins delivered every month or every 90 days, that 10% off is going to apply to that subscription. See what I mean about patient forward, patient centered? ProCare is amazing, and we are so excited to be partnered with them. Welcome to the Barry Nation family, ProCare Health.
Before we hit record, I think sometimes as bariatric patients, you feel like, well, now there's one more thing that I have to deal with, right? But creating and crafting and working on connected relationships is not an additional thing that bariatric patients have to go through. It's just, this is a human thing, right? Like that's kind of what you were really talking about.
For sure. I mean, it's you know, parent and child, it's friend and friend, it's couples, it's boyfriend, girlfriend, like mother, you know, you as a kid to your parents, like it's everything. It's at the core of everything. It's about being connected and feeling connected. And you get into any sort of relationship where you don't feel connected to somebody, you're not going to be happy, and you're not going to be willing to put the work in at a certain point. And it's going to fall apart again, whether it's parent child or it's, you know, friend friend. You know, if you don't feel connected to your friend, how likely are you to keep, are you to stay connected, calling them, texting them, whatever? You're not, right?
And I think that the thing is that, and we touched on this prior to recording, but I wanted to make sure that, like, we realized that before we still had these connection issues, but we were consumed by food. Our addiction to food took over our brains and our capacity. And so now it seems so much more blaring and, like, obvious, because now we have this clarity to see what is happening and what is going wrong. I don't like to say that word necessarily, but, you know, what
the challenges that were there
are. Yeah, exactly. Like, we didn't have that capacity before we removed 80% of our stomach, and we also removed the haze from our day-to-day lives. So it's, I know there's a lot of people in the membership community. There's a lot of people on Instagram. Everyone thinks it's because of the surgery, and it's not. We just can see it now.
Right.
Yep. Well, and we often talk about how, like, you know, the gift of bariatric surgery is it breaks that connection or that dependency on food for some time. But what also comes with it is this mental clarity. Right. All of a sudden, it's like we can actually see how things have been for a long time. And we have the capacity to kind of do the work now. Whereas before, you know, all of your energy, you know, you poured everything into just kind of getting through the day, because food and the disease of obesity was just such an all encompassing thing in your life. It was all that you had time for. Right. But when that goes away, you're sitting back and you're looking at what has actually been your relational life with people. And even though you might have known before surgery, I don't feel well connected with this person, but I just don't know what to do about it, and I don't have the time or the capacity. Now all of a sudden you're going, oh, I do have the time and capacity. This is not a relationship that I feel connected in, or this is not a good relationship, but I don't know how to fix it. I don't know how to become reconnected with that person.
Right. And I would say, I mean, I would think that would be, even if you didn't have the surgery, like if you're addicted to gaming and you just all of a sudden take somebody's gaming away and now they can't be in this virtual world, they got to be in the real world, you know, and now, oh, this relationship really isn't as good as I thought it was, but I've been so focused over here and so clouded over here. Now I have to look at these challenges and things I was kind of blinding myself from by staying focused or being involved somewhere else, or, you know, eating, or whether it's drinking or whatever, like. And for the you know, for a surgery patient, I can only imagine, like, you have no choice but to basically rip that away. And you have, you know, and so it's like, oh my God, right? Like, what the heck?
Well, and the thing about it too, for a lot of patients that we talk to and that I've kind of met with behind the scenes, is you don't really, at your highest weight, when you're really having problems and struggling just to live your life as it is, you really struggle with your self-image, with what you think your worth is, your value. So you'll take whatever relationship you can get because you think that's all you deserve. I deserve to have, you know, I'm lucky to have the guy that I've got regardless of how he treats me, because who else am I going to find? I'm lucky to have the friends I have because they just let me be around. So as long as I get to have somebody that will hang out with me, I'll do whatever that takes. So as you start, you know, on your post-op journey and start kind of getting that mental clarity about yourself, you start looking around and you're like, well, wait a minute. You reassess what your value and your worth and what you're willing to put up with is. And you think about it and go, well, hey. And a lot of it I see too, is when people start connecting in the bariatric community with other bariatric patients, they realize, well, this is easy and effortless. I don't really have to put a ton of work into this because these people accept me for who I am. There's not, like, we can just go along and get along. Like, we don't, it's not a struggle, a fight. We're not trudging through the mud to keep shit going because these people get me and I get them. And it's an amazing connection that people get that they haven't had before. So once they get that connection in a different way, they start realizing, well, this other stuff around here kind of sucks. And, you know, my husband treats me like crap, or my wife treats me like crap, or whoever that be, your best friend may be, you know, turn into a big old hater because now you're spending time with other people and they're like, well, hey, what about me? It was like, well, you know, I'm doing this over here now. If you can't clap for me doing this over here now, you probably need to take a seat.
Hey friends, it's April. I've been working with Sarah at Team Fit With Me for the last few weeks, and I'm so impressed by the level of support that her team really, truly gives their clients. Your onboarding meetings are thorough and detailed. Your meal plans are delivered to you for the first 4 weeks while you learn about nutrition and how to macro count. There are personal trainers that you can meet with, even mindset coaching that's available. It's a full package and it's amazing. Connect with Sarah today and get 10% off your first month if you book in October. Find her online at teamfitwithme.com or on Instagram at sarahf_fitwithme. And of course, you can reach out to me. I'm at actively_April or at barry.nation if you have any questions about the type of coaching I've been receiving. It's pretty amazing.
Interesting about this, and I feel like we've talked about this before, but I guess it's just really coming into focus for me. With some of those old relationships, those your established relationships that you've had before surgery, talking about obesity, your disease of obesity, your weight, is not something you did with those people. You were not comfortable about it, right? For a myriad of reasons. And they probably were not comfortable about talking about it with you. Like if they really loved you, they saw what was happening, but they just didn't know how to share their concern with you when it came to your weight, because nobody was looking at it through a disease lens. Everybody was looking through it as through like a fat lens, right? Like, oh, my friend is fat, or I don't know how to help. I don't know what I'm going to do. But that created disconnect in your relationship.
Yeah. I've had that exact conversation with people. They were like, we just changed plans because we knew you couldn't make the trip, or you couldn't walk that far, or you couldn't sit. There was nowhere for you to sit. Like, we know that these problems, but nobody was ever like, hey, let's talk about what's going on with you because we're really concerned for your health. It was never that conversation. It was always just that they talked behind the scenes and been like, well, we can't go do this because he won't be able to do it. We can't go do that because he won't fit. We can't do this because there's no, you know, whatever that may be.
And it creates disconnect.
It does. And it really, I mean, it's unintentional, like fat phobia, right? Like it's like what you were saying, Jason, like, oh, I'm going to not invite him because I don't know how to navigate this situation, instead of just getting to the point. And April, you and I met up with some folks in our local area, and we were talking about this because we just cut to the chase. There's no bullshit. We're like, oh, have you had a 12-second poop yet? Like, we just don't even, we really do. We talk about everything. We talk about our bowel movements. We talk about loose skin. We talk about skin removal. I mean, those are very like intimate things mm-hmm. that we can just talk about because we know that that's almost, it's a safe space for us to talk about those things. But with our partners or friends, parent, whatever, as Derek was saying, it's like, I don't know about you guys, but I don't tell my mom when I have a 12-second poop, you know, like, that's not something I talk about with those people. You know what I mean? Like, if you do, like, good on you. I don't know. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, it puts it in perspective of like, oh, I talk about these really intensely intimate things with people that get it. And I don't with all of these people that I've known for my whole life or decades, or I'm married to them or whatever.
So Derek, why is that? Why do we find it so easy to connect with other people who, right, we might not share anything else in common except this shared experience, right? In our case, it's obesity. Why is it so easy to just get really connected and deep and intimate with them, where we struggle to find that same connection with people who haven't been through it?
Well, I would flip that question on you, because I'd want to know like your perception, because I haven't been through the surgery. So I'm going to know, you know, I'm an expert. I have a master's degree in mental health, but like, I'm not an expert on you. Right. I would say from a naive kind of perspective, or just a kind of just an outsider, there's gotta be a level of friendship, right? There's gotta be a level of connectedness. somehow. And if it is connecting through the surgery, then that's what it is. Like that automatically is some sort of camaraderie, friendship, because you had the surgery. And in other relationships, do you really feel like you're connected or even have a friendship with these people? And a friendship in a sense of like, this person knows my inner and outer world at a level that other people outside of my world don't know, right? And so because you should have this shared experience, this shared connectedness, you're more likely to open up. Again, I would ask you three that because, and see why you think you're more connected to your community, somebody that you haven't even never met before, and all of a sudden you meet and you share this experience. Why do you feel more connected? That's where my mind kind of goes. So I don't know if that answers your question or not, but.
No, it does. But I also think that, you know, I kind of look at it through the lens of people that have been through boot camp together or people that have been through some kind of trauma together or, you know, open heart surgery patients or, you know, transplant people that, you know, people that have been on the transplant list and had successful transplants. We have that shared bond in common that we know there's already that connection. So we don't have, like Natalie said, you cut through all the bullshit. Like you don't have to do that whole icebreaker and all that shit. You know, your icebreaker is what type of surgery did you have? How far out are you? How are they? You know, we have loaded, like our loaded little set list of questions. We can just walk up to somebody and be like, boom. And if you've got there's a group of 20 people around talking, you can just step up and slide right into the conversation and go, oh yeah, for me, this is what I did. This is what we did. Or this is how this worked for me. Or this is how far out I am. And you just kind of go that route with it. And that's what's always been to me. Like, we're just a group of people that have been through it. So we already have that in common. So we know, like, it's an automatic safe space. When you're around other patients, you just know you're just in the cone of silence at that point. And you can say whatever that may be, and you know it's going to be accepted because everybody else has been through
it. And again, that goes back to, so the Gottman method has what's called a sound relationship house. And the foundation, the first two levels above that are all about that connectedness, that friendship. Those are the friendship levels. And so if you feel connected to somebody, you're going to open up to this person more. Like, it's just kind of a natural progression. You feel connected, you feel like you've shared something. And so I want to open up to this person more. I feel safe with this person. And in our other relationships, I say ours, I'm y'all's, obviously. I'm gonna say ours a lot, like I do with my couples and individuals. I include myself just because that's how I do. But in our other relationships, do we feel that? And I would say probably not. If you notice that disconnect there, probably not.
Well, and what was going through my head too when you asked that question, it's like, you know, I guess I was always afraid to talk to my friends about my size, about gaining weight. And maybe it's because I was worried that like they were going to see that as a failure. But when I talk to bariatric patients, they don't know anything about me, really. What they see is that what I'm like struggling through and what I'm living through. So there's no expectation of failure letting me down. It's like, you don't know me at all. But yet in 5 minutes, it's like, oh, but you do kind of get me because you and I both struggle with like food addiction or we're both struggling with overeating or we're really trying to work through this like big, heavy thing. And I can spend 5 minutes with you and you're like, oh, I totally get it. I'm going through the same thing. And it's like, oh, okay. So there is no judgment or shame there, even though I don't think my friends would have ever judged or shamed me. It's just, there was that like, oh my God, am I letting you down by letting you know, my friend of 30 years, that I'm really struggling with this and I'm, you know, I'm failing at this. Yeah.
Okay, hear me out. I went into surgery thinking it would be the only treatment I would need to overcome my chronic disease of obesity. About 6 months into my journey, I realized I was wrong. I was missing community, I was missing education from the experts, and I was missing a safe place to just go and connect with other patients who understood what I was going through. That's why Jason, Natalie, and I created the Bari Nation membership community. It is a safe and inclusive place for patients to gather with one another, to learn from the experts and each other. Check out the Bari Nation community today by visiting https://barination.mn.co to see what we have created. In Bari Nation, you belong, and you don't have to do this journey alone.
Because they saw us big, they see us not as big, And now all of a sudden, the only two sides they have to connect it to are, you're either going to succeed at this and stay small, or you're going to start gaining weight back and you just got to automatically go back to the size you were before. Because that's, you know, kind of like what Derek was saying, the naive point of it, just the uneducated about bariatric surgery and how the process works is all it is. It's not that they are ultimately saying that you suck or you're not going to fail or they're not going to support you in that. They just don't know. Like, they don't know that you can have a 10% bounce. They don't know that you can gain, you know, another 20 pounds in it. You know, they don't know what the warning signs are for you, or know that the fact that it's going to be different this time because you have the tool that you didn't have before. All they saw was you trying fad diets and them not working. And for them, their alert's going to go off and say, oh shit, well, this is going to be like before, like when you tried Herbalife or when you tried Atkins or when you tried whatever. We're just going to go right back to where we were, and we just don't want you to do that and gain more than you were at before. It just kind of is an internal struggle with them, and it's not that they don't want to support you, they just don't know what that looks like.
I will say also, from my friend group perspective, I have friends who are overweight, and there is this big body positivity, body neutrality movement going on right now. And I was a part of that. I still am, just in a different way. But for me, it was like, this is a very heavy, loaded topic for everyone in my friend group. And so I feel like if I'm like, oh, I ate one bite too many and now I feel sick, they're going to take it as, am I taking a bite too many? Like, they start analyzing themselves. And I would never, ever in a million years want to put anyone in that position. And they also saw me, like what you said, Jason, they saw me with my lap band and I couldn't keep food down. And so I think that's where they also go to the red flag of like, are you sick? Do you need to go to the hospital? Like, it's like two really big feelings and worries in one like single sentence that I say. And so it is hard. Like, it's hard for me to even like sit down with friends that I've known since I was 12, 11, 10. And my cousin, who I've known my whole life, who struggles with like her body. And I think until you're in this space that we've created, this safe space that we keep talking about, it feels like a much more loaded question. I mean, it, or sentence or whatever, because technically it is, but it's our life. So we're so used to talking about it because it's our normal. If that makes any sense at all. That was a very rambly thing, but like, yeah, I just feel like I couldn't bring it up with some of the things with my best friends, like on Thanksgiving or, you know, something. I just have to kind of shut up and internalize it instead of saying like, oh, I'm too full. I ate a bite too many. Like, that's the biggest example I can think of.
Whereas with bariatric patients, if you were to say that, everybody would understand and it wouldn't even be, they wouldn't even look twice at you. You wouldn't have any anxiety about saying that in that group.
And I would give you my plate and I'd be like, put it over on the end and we wouldn't even talk about it. But like, if I did that with my best friends, they would be like, okay, like, I'll put it over here.
And they don't know what the graveyard's all about.
They don't understand the graveyard, the bariatric graveyard. Put it to the end for Derek, to enlighten you. It's when we are realizing that our tummies are at capacity. And if we keep that plate in front of us, we're going to continue kind of picking at it. I mean, everyone has picked at their plate, but that's if we do it, trouble will ensue. So we just pass it to the blank end of the table when we're done. And you just say, hey, can you put it at the end of the table? I cannot be in front of me or else I'm going to make myself sick.
Yeah.
I couldn't do that with my OG friends, as we call it.
In Dallas, we did that, and there was probably 15 plates at the end of the table, and everybody just like, it was just an assembly line. Everybody was passing their shit to the end of the table, and it was just like, ah.
And the look on the waiter's face was hilarious. It was so good.
Well, but I guess, go for it. Nope.
I was just saying, you know, the struggle is like we've been so inundated with like diet fads and different things like that that don't actually educate people. They think, oh, you can just change the way you eat and that's going to just do something. That's just going to make you lose weight, or you can work out more. But most people don't realize that it's a deeper emotional struggle that people are going through. That's why, I mean, the research shows it, like outside of like a physical condition or medicine induced or something like that, weight gain, like most of the time, obesity is an emotional tie, right? And so, and most people don't realize that, they're uneducated. They see, oh, you got the Atkins diet, and now you have keto, and now you have all these other things that are just about what you eat and not actually about what's going on internally. And so they don't have that education. That's why they think, oh, you just need to stop eating or go to the gym. That's all you got to do. And it's like, no, there's a reason why I am doing what I'm doing and why food is so important to me and why it comforts me so much. It's an emotional thing. And it's hard to talk to somebody that doesn't have that education and doesn't have that worldview. And so when you get into a community that has that worldview, that understands that, again, it's like, no wonder. It's like, oh my God, they get me without even me saying anything.
And it's an addiction in itself. And
for sure.
But people, our partners or other relationships don't understand, as it's like walking into a room and everybody knows exactly what's going on. And you don't have to explain yourself. You don't have to say, oh, I'm sorry, I can't eat this. You don't have to say because, or you don't have to explain anything. You just are. You're just there and it's fine. And trying to describe that to someone who has not gone through this is very difficult, because it's like, we're also talking about this weekend, you know, like you bring your partner sees you going off on all these trips or meetups or whatever. And they're like, well, what am I, chopped liver? And it's like, well, no, but I'm also like, these are my people and I don't have to explain myself ever.
And
so I keep interrupting you, I'm sorry, but I wanted to connect on that because, so I'm 6'10", right? And so any room that I walk into, like everybody sees me, but nobody really like understands what it's like being 6'10". And so I get tons of questions, tons of looks, tons of stares. But then if I'm in a room full of basketball players, like nobody asks me my shoe size. Nobody asks me how tall I am. Nobody asks me if I played basketball. No, you know, nobody asks me those questions that everybody else asks. And it's just like, I can walk into that room of basketball players and kind of like, you know what I mean? And that's what it kind of like seems like.
You literally just did the bariatric sigh, except in your own personal world. So yeah, you get it 1,000%.
Except the side note is that his wife and my wife love it when we go places together, because we usually get preferred seating because we're just too damn big to fit anywhere else. So we've got, like, when we went downtown in Oklahoma City for dinner one night when Kevin Durant still played for the Thunder. So we got his private dining room because we're giant. So we got to sit there. And then the other night they gave us, when we were back in Oklahoma City, we went to dinner. We got our own private dining room in this restaurant we went to that back home. That's usually what happens when we go out together. And I feel cool because I'm not the one being stared at for once. It's him. So I get to defer. I get to be like,
Perks and Bennies. But and you know what just really also connected for me too? It's interesting, the questions or the conversation that we could have with our OG friends or with our family could actually create moments of disconnect, right? Because when they're asking us these things, we feel less and less connected, even though that's not their goal and it's not even our goal. We want to feel connected with people, but yet their actions and their questions and the conversation can feed that disconnect, right? Because then you're like, well, I don't know why we're going to keep talking about this. You just don't get it. It's fine. Let's move on. But every time that happens, you feel less and less connected.
It's the difference I like to always point out between sympathy and empathy. Like, you can have sympathy for what I'm going through, but you're not going to understand it on the level as somebody that's been through what I've been through and has the empathy for what I'm going through. So having to sit there, tell everybody 10 times over why you can't eat what it is at Thanksgiving or Christmas, why you're eating off a damn, you know, bread plate, why you're only eating half of what, you know, whatever, you just or why you can't drink right now because you just ate something. Why, you know, it's the same questions over and over again that people that aren't in it don't even remember. So they ask you again the next time they see you, or an hour later when they haven't thought, I had two drinks in, and they're just like, well, why can't you eat whatever you're gonna? And it just, that shit just, it wears on you time and time again. Cause then you, like, I think that feeds the disconnect more, because you're like, well, you're not even listening. You're not even trying to understand. All you're doing is talking to hear yourself talk and give me shit because you don't like the way I'm doing whatever it is I'm doing when I physically can't do it.
Yep.
You got to put those defensive up, because that's hurtful, right? That's hurtful. Like, I've told you, you know, how many times have I told you what I'm going through and told you I can't do this and told you, and you're not listening to me. So my defenses are, I got to put my defenses up to protect myself, because I can't keep being vulnerable, right?
Yes. So that is kind of the big question that we really want to get to, I think, in today's conversation is, you know, what is a connected relationship? Like, we always like to kind of start with the definition. I know we're like an hour into this conversation, but it's all good. Like, this is just how it happens. Yeah. And I'm thankful for that. But what does it mean to have or to be working to cultivate a connected relationship? And then how do we build these relationships with people who will only ever be able to empathize? How do we build these lasting and these deeper connections with people that are not bariatric patients, but we want them to be a part of our journey? So that's kind of the two big questions. So let's just start with the basics. What is a connected relationship?
So I want to hear from you three. What is a connected relationship to you? Before I kind of answer, I want to know from your perspective, what is that? What is a connected relationship?
April's gonna be dead last. Look at her face. She's like, I don't want to talk about it.
Love that you threw it back at April, because that's what I always do. I think for me, it's kind of what we already talked about. It's the empathy portion. It's being able to be and speak my mind freely, and without fear of judgment or shame, feeling shameful. So I think that's kind of my, granted, I mean, I know friendship and parental connected relationships are important, but for, I think that would be like the basics for me.
I know for me, I'm actually blessed to have a connected relationship with everybody in this screen right now. I've known Derek for probably 15 years now, and he and I could not talk for 2 weeks, 3 weeks. So we just talk again. It'd be like we never left. Like, I haven't seen him. I went home this last time to Oklahoma. I hadn't seen him in probably 3 years, just like we never let off. So those things are important to me. People that want to, like, the people, like we talked about, the people that listen but don't listen, like they ask questions but don't really care about the response, like that to me wears me out to no end. I need people, like, when I sit down in front of Derek, he and I can talk for 3 or 4 hours, and he'll ask poignant questions. He wants to know things, but it's because he wants to know it. He has the thirst for knowledge, not just to hear himself talk or to hear me talk just so he can blow it out the window. Like, that's the connection for me on a friendship level. But, you know, with Sarah and I, we've been married for 22 years. It is like, she and I can talk about anything. We don't have secrets from each other. We don't hide things from each other. She tells me exactly how she feels. I tell her exactly how I feel. Now, has it always been that way? Absolutely not. She and I had to learn to fight fair, because we spent a lot of years talking at each other and not talking to each other. We weren't listening to listen. We were listening to respond. We didn't give a shit about learning what the other one was upset about. We just had a response loaded, ready to, you know, throw that haymaker when we could. So it took a lot of years for us to develop that relationship in such a way that we could fight fair. So it was about the topic at hand. It wasn't about shit that happened 2 years ago or what happened last Tuesday. It was about right now, in the moment, what was happening. So I think in any relationship that you want to continue to cultivate, it's going to, like Derek said, it's going to take that work. It takes work to put in, to realize, you know, to get to whatever level you want to get to. It's a climb. It's not like you guys just, it's not an elevator where you're just going to get to the 10th floor and be like, okay, cool, we're there. No, you got to climb that mountain on every relationship it is, no matter what it is. Some may be easier than others, but at the same time, all of them still take work.
Yeah, and I oh. You, my friend, are on my dark alley list now. I have a very large, close social circle. I've been blessed with friends for a long time. Yeah, Jason's just dying because he knows I just want to punch somebody's lights out right now. She's our touchy-feely
one, if you can't tell, Derek.
She's I about can tell that, you know, she's deep in that emotion. Yeah,
she would rather have a root canal while sitting on a cactus right now than talk about what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm. I would. I have been trained from a very young age that you just emotions are not something that you express. They're not something that you show publicly. And I struggle with feeling connected with people often because I just am afraid to let anybody in on what's actually going on up there. I think, you know, I was raised in a very loving, kind, safe home environment, but there were just some things that, you know, happened throughout childhood and you just, yeah, no, like you, this is the way that we act. This is how we present. This is what we do. This is how it is. And it wasn't that feelings and stuff weren't acknowledged. It's just that there was a time and a place for that. And I just got to the point where it was just safer and it was easier for me to just not do that. Where it screwed me is that, you know, I don't know how I managed to do it, but I have some really close, intimate friendships and they know almost everything, but I think they just put up with me because they love me and they know that I'll get to it eventually. But even in my marriage, I struggle with this. Like there are things that I will not share or talk about with Grady. It's gotten better, absolutely. But especially when it came to the bariatric journey, it's like, I'm not talking to you about my fears about surgery. I'm not talking about you about how I'm worried that people aren't going to like me when I have surgery and maybe I become a different person. Like, I'm not going to talk to you about like, what if I can't drink anymore and I'm not a social drinker and I'm not that, you know, like, I didn't say any of that stuff to him. So connected relationships can be a challenge for me because I think that letting people into my deepest, darkest thoughts are going to push them away. So I don't. And I purposely keep people at a very manageable, yet loving distance. And Jason did not know this. I mean, there's been times where even they're like, why are you keeping me away? And I'm like, because this is
safe.
Yep. I was going to
the Citadel.
That Jason and I have in the last 2 years really worked with April to let me in, open the curtain just a little bit. I'm just gonna tiptoe in. Like it's that way. And I get it. Like I was like that too. I'm a very emotional person, but I also was told like when I was younger, not to like you could have 2 minutes to cry and then you gotta buck up and like figure out your life, you know? So I get it on that level, but for sure it's hard. You get defensive.
Yeah. And so, I mean, I think all three of what you guys have said are all great perspectives on what connected looks like. And I mean, the research, again, going back to friendship level, right? The research shows that our when we feel known by somebody else, when we feel like this person knows us, they know my inner world, they know my outer world, that is, there's a level of connection there. And especially and specifically in romantic relationships, that is the foundation of a romantic relationship. There has to be, I don't say there has to be, there needs to be some level of friendship there. And for most people, you know, there is, even if it's cracked, even if it's, you know, I always like if your foundation in your house is cracked, you can do something to rebuild it up, right? Like in Oklahoma, you know, our foundations suck on every house you buy, and so you have to get peers and fix your foundation. It's the same thing. So I would say, like, if you're not feeling connected with somebody, there's ways that you can reestablish that connection by building that friendship, by asking friendship, like there's questions you can ask to build your knowledge of that person and them ask you, like, but it goes back to feeling like this person knows your inner and your outer world. And if you don't have that, then it's hard to feel connected. It's hard to feel to build anything else on top of it. If you start out with a bad foundation, right? Like if you're building a new house, most of the time, new foundations look perfect, right? You don't build a new house on top of a foundation that looks like this. You know what I mean? That's all cracked and moving everywhere, right? It looks perfect in the beginning. And so, you know, that you got to have that solid friendship foundation in order to feel connected to anybody. But I would say one thing, you know, that April said, that even great parents cause pain, cause hurt, right? Like you said, I had a loving childhood, a safe childhood, but I wasn't able to express my emotions really freely. And so as great as your parents were, you know, that you said, that caused pain. And so you were told at a young age, like, your emotions are not okay and all the time. And so that created this organizing principle in your brain to view the world that way for the right, you know, until you work on it and start working to change it. And so what you have in relationships at that, you know, if you take it to the relationship level, you have two different people with different organizing principles, different experiences colliding together, and then trying to make a relation, you know, a new form of a relationship, but they're bringing all this past stuff in. And so again, that's why I'm like, you know, even talking about surgery stuff, like everything that you guys are talking about, it's so normal for everybody else to experience some of the same stuff, right? Like your parents did stuff to you, and being the best parents that they could be, they still caused pain and they caused hurt. And it's the same thing for everybody else. And so you have two people trying to come together with this childhood and these experiences, and you've developed in a way to survive that most of the time we're told not to talk about it, keep it at arm's length, and just go on about. And how can you have a deep, intimate relationship with anybody when that's kind of your organizing principle, right? And so the starting point is that friendship, because most people can say, you know, who are your two best friends? Well, I know now Jason's two best friends are April and Natalie. You know, I was on that level, but now it's April and Natalie, right? And so, you know, what's your favorite food? What, you know, and kind of those friendship questions, you know, what's your major stressor right now in your life? You know, what's your major worry? Who do you not like at work, right? Like just these friendship questions that we can ask to build that level. And then we can start going from there and getting in that deeper stuff. But it's hard to do that because, again, we're not all therapists and we're sent messages by society that we shouldn't do that. Like men, like think about men. Men aren't supposed to cry. You know, how many times did I think I heard all the time, well, why are you crying? Are you a girl? Like what? Like growing up, right? So it's just inundated in us to not be emotional. And if we can't be emotional, how can we be connected? And then, you know, we get in relationships where it just works because I'm self-soothing and coping with food. And my partner is probably self-soothing and coping with something that they're doing, whether we know it or not. It could be food too. It could be porn. It could be whatever. And we're just coexisting. And then that food is ripped away. Again, that is just taken away. That coping mechanism is just, from my perspective, again, it feels like it's just taken away. And it's like, oh, now I really got to look at this and see this. Yeah, that's scary, right? And so I know Sarah has told, you know, talked about, you know, the addiction aspect post-surgery and different things like that. And it makes sense to me, like, it's scary to deal with that stuff. It's scary to talk about parents and acknowledge that your parents, again, as good as they were, they're trash in some areas, right? And it's scary to acknowledge that because now I got to deal, not only do I got to deal with myself, now I got to deal with that. And I got to deal with my marriage and I got to deal with this. Nah, let me go to the bottle. Let me go to the pill. Let me do something else to feel that again, because that is too much, right? Just kind of my, it goes to answer the question though, connectedness goes back to that friendship level, that foundation of feeling known and knowing somebody else.
And again, that's my question in all of this. And I'm pretty sure like this is the answer, but if the key to these connected relationships is being known, that means that you have to be willing to let somebody know you. So what do you do when you're a person like me and you are terrified to let people actually know the real you because you think that they aren't going to like the real you?
So I would say, man, there's a lot there to unpack, right? I would say, so one thing that I was going to say earlier that I can kind of, you know, relate to this is, you know, the research shows that 7 out of 10 things that we have conflict about in a marriage, we're never going to solve. they're unsolvable disagreements. 7 out of 10 conflicts in a marriage are unsolvable. And so the key becomes, how do we understand and validate one another so that we can continue moving forward with dialogue instead of getting gridlocked on things? Right? Because they're unsolvable. Again, the Gottmans have studied over 4,000 couples at this point, and they show 7 out of 10 things we have conflict about, we are never going to agree on. We may say we compromise, but are we really compromising, or is one person just not talking and just giving the other person their way? One person's giving too much or not giving enough. Like, are we really, they're still not solvable, right? And so it goes back to understanding and validation. What goes to your point, the way that we get there is we start working on understanding and validating each other instead of arguing, or instead of shutting down, or instead of being defensive. We have to start practicing understanding and validating. And so it starts with small conversations, small conflicts. How can we have a conversation in such a way, which is something that I work on with couples all the time, with different Gottman things, but have a conversation in such a way where it's in front, I tell you my perspective. I'm not blaming you for anything. I'm not, criticizing you for anything. I'm just telling you from my perspective, my experience, and what I feel. And then the other person says, well, now that you say that that's how you experience that, it makes sense to me why you're sad, or why that was hurtful, or why that was whatever it was. It can make sense to me how you felt that way. It doesn't necessarily mean I agree that it happened that way, right? Validation doesn't equal agreement. That's one thing that that would be good to remember. Validation does not equal agreement. A lot of times we get stuck in our heads that if I validate what this person feels, that means I'm agreeing with them. And no, it doesn't. Go ahead.
As you were speaking, I thought of an anecdote that in the moment I didn't realize was what you just described. One of my best friends, I've known her since I was in junior high, messaged me over the summer. And this was after, we, Berry Nation, were graciously nominated for this Just Be You Bariatric Awards, and that happened in November. I was nominated as standalone, and I didn't really, I sent them a message about it, but I didn't really, I was just like, hey, I did this thing, if you want to nominate me or vote for me, whatever. Okay, bye. Just kind of dropped it and left. And that was back in June, I think. She messaged me again in August, and she asked me, how is, this award show going? How are you feeling about it? And then she ended her message with, I feel like you haven't talked about Berry Nation or the things that you're doing. And I said, well, to be quite honest, months prior, we had had another conversation where, again, we are really working on having those validating conversations. Mm-hmm. So she made a statement that, I talk about bariatrics a lot, and that it's hard for her to listen to a lot because she struggles with her eating and her body. And I referenced that. I said, well, you made this comment, and I took that as a sign to not talk about anything bariatric related, including my accomplishments, because I didn't want to make you feel bad. And she went back and she said, that was not my intention at all. And here I was, 6 months of me not talking about bariatric retreat or any of the traveling I was doing, or all of these really big life moments that I would have loved to share with her.
Right.
And we had that conversation of she's like, I don't want you to not talk about those things. I was just also saying that it was hard for me to listen to, what you're eating all the time, or what you can't eat, or those types of things. And so we did, we ended up having a very validating conversation, and it's gotten better. It's not perfect by any means, but I felt more connected to her because I was like, oh, I can talk to you about you know, this part of my life, because it's my life now. Like it's my business. It's what I would like to do for the rest of my life. And to not be able to share that with someone that was so close to me, that's a huge blow. So I can only imagine how it would be from like a marriage or a partner perspective. Like I'm not in a relationship right now. And so I don't know if Jason or April have anything to add, but I have no idea how that would be as far as like a marriage perspective.
Well, not even marriage perspective for me, but I've found in my personal life with like what we call our OG friends who aren't bariatric patients, I don't talk a lot about it. Like I have a large presence of people I've grown up with on Facebook, probably close to 900 people or more that I legit have grown like from grade school all the way to graduation and post, you know, post graduation, just friends that I have that know a lot of pretty much everything about me. And they followed my journey up until a point, just the stuff that I would let out on Facebook. But I don't talk, I tend not to talk about my bariatric stuff a lot with those people because I don't want to, I kind of did it first, but I realized that it was kind of getting old to them, I guess, and talking a lot about it, talking about Bari Nation and what we were doing and the, all the traveling and stuff. So it's, I tend now to not bring it up unless somebody asks me directly. Like I know I can talk to Derek about it when I, you know, when I'm there talking to him and his wife when we visit and stuff like that. But the legit, the rest of the people that I'm around, I really don't talk to a lot about it until they ask me, because I don't want to seem like I'm bragging on the stuff that we do or the accomplishments that we make or any of that kind of stuff, because I don't want it to come off like somebody that I'm really not.
And I just know in my marriage with Grady, we did reach a point where he was like, what the hell? Like everything is Bari Nation. Like you are never around. That's all you talk about. You're constantly busy. Like, you know, you're just gone because this is what you're doing. And it was kind of hard for me to tell him like, well, but this is what I need to actually find success. And what makes, I think, building these connected relationships before and after surgery so difficult is that we don't even understand our own disease ourselves. I don't know I don't understand how deep and so ingrained and entwined the disease of obesity was with myself. And the further I get out from surgery, I'm learning more and more. And it really does change almost every day. So it's hard for me to go to him and be like, hey, this is what I'm experiencing today. And I didn't even realize that this was connected, right? Or like, I didn't even realize that my weight was connected to, you know, whatever this is. It's exhausting doing this self-discovery on my own. And now I have to bring somebody else along on this journey who doesn't understand the disease, like, you know, at an even greater level than me, and might not ever because they're not going to have surgery. So it's like this double, triple, quadruple layer of work. Okay, well, now I'm figuring this out for myself. Okay, now I need to turn around and explain my aha moment to my husband and then my friends. It just gets really heavy. So instead of taking the time and the energy to do that, which I now understand, oh, that's actually how I get a more connected relationship. I just shut down because I'm exhausted and I'm tired, but that leads to disconnect.
Right.
But you and Grady,
it's like it's overwhelming.
You and Grady are the king and queen of baby steps. I will say that because you've baby stepped your way into opening up to me and Nat more and some other people more. And you also, Grady didn't even get baby steps. Grady got thrown into the fire. He was baptism by fire. You just threw him into a meetup and he was just kind of like, what the hell's going on here?
Well, but I will let you in a little bit on that. It got to the point in our relationship where it was very much like, you're either choosing Bari Nation or you're choosing me. And that was a very scary moment because it was like, I need both of these in my life. Yeah. So you're asking me to kill myself. Basically, like you're asking me to cut off a part of my life that I can't, because I can't not choose my bariatric support system and I can't not choose my marriage. So you're really putting me in a rock and a hard place here. That was a really difficult moment for me, having to admit that I need something outside of myself, even though it, like we've created this, like, you know, for you, for me to say that was hard. But then to go to Grady and I was basically like, you have to meet these people. I don't know what else to do. And if after you meet them, if you don't see why I need this in my life, then I have a big thing to evaluate. But it definitely got to that point in our relationship. And I see now why so many people struggle in their marriage after bariatric surgery. Because while you want to say, I'm not a different person, you are completely a different person. And you have just chugged along in this new path and you're just focused on you. And here's your significant other. Here's this caring person that cares about you. And they're looking at you going, you're changing a million miles an hour. You aren't telling me anything about what's going on. You're just leaving me in the dust. And I don't know what to do here. So in our relationship, it really got to the point where it was like, you either we're doing this or we're not. And by we're doing this, we are doing this, or we are not doing this. So thank God he was brave enough to go, whatever, you know, like, fine, I'll see what this is all about. And thank God the community has been very loving and welcoming and understanding that it's going to take him some baby steps, right? Because it is a lot. You're getting thrown into this and you don't know anything about it, but you're just going along for the ride. I mean, he's like a social introvert. He hates crowds. Like, he hates new people. Like, the man is built for these teeny tiny. Yeah. And I'm like, hey, here's a 10,000 really cool, close friends. Let's go to Mexico with them. Let's go to Texas. Like, we're going to go do all the things.
Yeah. Well, the best thing I saw out of him though, was when we were in Tacoma. And he came for the, you know, first little big thing. And when he was in the room with 65 people that legit came specifically to see us and hear us talk and see what we were doing and just meet us for the first time, was when he really connected and pulled me to the side and was like, holy shit, this is a real thing. Like, these people really need you guys and the information you're putting out. And I said, oh yeah, so this isn't just about us. This isn't just about the podcast. This isn't just this community counts on, relies on us to be in their life because we told them we would be. We set this up. And for him to connect on that level and really see it made me happy because I knew you guys were having issues with the amount of time you were spending and the things you were doing, not to that level, but I knew that there was, you know, there were some issues there. So to see that and have him connected with me in that way was really a special moment for me to see because I knew things were going to be okay at that point.
Yeah.
So I say, first of all, April, appreciate you. Oh, you disclosing that and sharing that. Because I don't know if you've shared that before, but since I'm new and you don't know me, like, that's super dope. And I appreciate that. But the way that you described it, I don't know, something clicked when you were describing the weight of the feeling of the weight of all the things that you go through post-surgery. And it makes sense why, what is it, 80% of marriages end in divorce post-surgery? Like, it makes sense why it's like you feel this disconnect with this person. And one, you don't talk about emotions. You don't work on validating or understanding, right? That's probably foreign. And so it's like, okay, this weight is so heavy, what I got to get something off. And unfortunately, the marriage is that something for most people, it sounds like. And it makes sense why. It's just survival. Like, I'm going to crush. Like, I'm going to crush under the weight of everything I'm dealing with. And I got to get something off. And I feel connected over here with these people. And I don't feel connected here. And it makes sense why this needs to be cut off, right? And the other side of that I'm thinking about too is like, you know, for the spouse of somebody who's went through surgery and they do see like all this stuff, I just wonder, like, you know, it needs to go, it's like the thing with understanding and validation is it has to go both ways, right? Like, what has it been your perspective of me getting surgery? And am I willing to sit and listen and really take that in non-judgmentally and hear how it feels and say, oh, like, I can see how, if, you know, from your perspective, if it seems like I'm very connected to these other people, and I am, and I can understand now why you're feeling threatened. I can understand why that's hurtful for you when you care for me too and want a connection, but I'm giving my connection over here. I can understand why that would be hurtful and painful, right? Like, it can, I mean, just the both ways need understanding and validation. And again, for them, it's like, they're so, you know, for my spouse who's had surgery is so far over here being connected with people and making so much progress and doing this. Like, it's scary to try to put in the work to stay connected to somebody.
Well, and also in a way you think about it too, is you see your spouse doing something for themselves, getting better, getting help, getting healthy, not only physically, but mentally and emotionally healthy. And you're over here not doing it. You're doing the same shit you've been doing. So you look at it and you're like, it's kind of almost envious at some point, because you're like, well, damn, they're doing, like, they're outshining me now. Like, I was doing all the shit because I was, you know, they couldn't hardly move and do things, and they're sitting on the couch every night watching TV and, you know, doing whatever. Now they're up doing 3 and 4 classes. Like, we offer 100 classes in Berry Nation in a month in our platform. So if, like, we have people that don't miss a class, I don't give a shit what it is. They're religiously in every support group, every class. Sometimes we have 3 support groups a night and they're an hour apiece. Wow. So if they're in every one of those, you're taking somebody that used to just be there every time you needed or wanted or looked or whatever, they were just in their same spot. Now they're in a class, you know, 3 hours a night. You know, they may have made dinner and done the things they needed to do for the house, and then now they're doing this. But at the same time, to see your spouse not there where they're supposed to be, they're over here doing something in your mind where they're supposed to be. Right. They're over here doing something to better themselves, but you're still doing the same, you know, over and over again. So that can create, you know, more disconnect in that, you know, from the other side, because they're looking like, well, shit, you know, they're doing better and they're kind of killing it, and I'm over here not doing shit. So what's that say about me? And nobody ever wants to turn that lens around on themselves and go, what can I do to be better for them, for myself, for the family? They just want to show up and be like, well, I've been doing this for 20 years. Why is it a problem now?
And that's the key with the understanding of validation. And a lot of the stuff that the work that I do with people is once they realize, like, we're not going to agree on 7 out of 10 things that we have a fight about, right? Like, that's huge. That's, you know, that thing, you know, think about 4 out of 10 shots Steph Curry shoots, he misses, or 6 out of 10 shots he misses, right? He's a 47%. That means he misses 6 shots. Like, in our relationship, 7 out of 10 things that we argue about, we're never going to agree on. And so that the work that I do with people is, okay, once I understand your perspective, once I know what's kind of the dream within the conflict, what is at risk? Why are we fighting about these things? What do I now know that I'm immovable on? Because before it seemed like I'm immovable on all these things, right? But we whittle that down to like the core, like the 2 or 3 things that are just immovable for you. You're not going to negotiate on these things. Once we work to that, now we see all these peripheral issues that it's, oh, I could do this. You know, I could give in on here. I could give in on here. I could give in on this. And you don't feel like you're letting go of yourself, right? You don't feel like you're giving away yourself. And that's the key with compromise that most people don't understand. Because for you, it's like, if I'm a spouse of somebody who's had surgery, if I'm telling them I need more time with you, but for you, that time you're getting with the Berry Nation is so important because it's meeting a need that, you know, that's, I need that support, right? That's an immovable thing that I have in me at my core. I need that support. But as we whittle down and see, maybe there's other things I can move on to give my spouse who hasn't had surgery that I'm not giving away that core need that I have. But we get stuck on all these external things that we don't get to that core issue.
Well, like you said, people assume that compromise is 100% on both sides. And that's not true. It's not, it's mathematically impossible for both. So if it's a compromise, you're each given a little bit up on both sides to kind of come together and meet something. So where people think about it and go, well, fine, I'm not giving up 100% of shit. Well, no, you're not. You're really not. You can give 40%. You can give, you know, 50, 60. It doesn't have to be 100. Like, if you break it down to its, you know, to its core value, it doesn't have to be 100% on both sides.
And it has to be fluid, right? Like, post-surgery, like, right, I'm assuming again, right, correct me if I'm wrong, and you feel free to say, no, you're full of crap, right? But I'm assuming, like, post-surgery, you need heavy support, right? Like, you need to be in 100 hours of classes a month just to feel supported. And so the compromise may need to shift a little bit, right? So again, I'm not giving up on that core issue, right? I know what the core issue is. I can't give up on that, but there may be more things that I can give up on so that you can have more. And then as we get farther post-surgery and the support isn't maybe as needed as much, maybe I just need 80 hours now, right? Like, it goes fluid this way, right? And it may go all the way towards post-op person at some point. Like, they may have to give up a little bit more because, their spouse is in a certain season of life, right? It has to be fluid. But as long as we're not giving up whatever that core dream is, that core issue is, that's the key. That's what that it has to be. You can't move on those core things. And that's what most people don't understand.
And I think really what makes this, these connected relationships along our bariatric journey challenging but needed and necessary, is that as a patient, we have to be brave enough to just publicly say to the people we want to be connected with, I don't know what I'm going to need to make it through. I don't know, but I need the ability and the time and the space to figure it out. And then once I do figure it out, I need you to believe me when I say I need this, or when I go to you and I say, hey, I need you to not bring these certain foods into the house, or I need us to not celebrate with food anymore, or I need to stop drinking for a while, right? Or I need us to go on vacation that involves movement, right? Or I need time at this class, this book club, this thing, right? That person needs to believe us when we say it and then be okay with us taking that time. But then the flip side is, for me especially, I need to communicate with Grady, hey, this is the impact that this time that you allowed me to take. I don't, you guys know what I mean, but like, you're giving me time to go do this. This is the impact that it made on my life today, right? So thank you for allowing that to exist in our marriage, because I benefited from it this way. And now that I'm good here, I need to shift, and this is where we're going to work now. That's missing for so many people because they're so afraid to say, number one, I don't know what I'm doing. Number two, I don't understand my disease. I don't know if this is going to work. And that terrifies me, but I'm going to ask for your support and just trust that and ask you to trust me. That's four huge things that I couldn't do before surgery. No way.
Yeah. And I think exactly what you said, April, like being able to go to your partner or friend, support, whatever, and say, look, I took a calculated risk and I don't know if it's going to continue working either. Like, I think making sure, because I know at the root of it, there's a lot of roots to it, but a main one for a lot of supports that I've heard is that they're afraid because we've tried, like we mentioned before, that we've tried keto, we've tried, some pills before, we've tried other medications or other diets, whatever. And they're scared because this is a lot of it elevated from those things, those methods. And they're afraid that it's not going to work. And I think exactly what you said, April, like, hey, I'm doing all of these things. These are my non-negotiables because I also don't know if this is going to work. I'm also unsure.
Yeah.
But I'm willing to communicate with you throughout this journey, this path.
Yeah. And that is the key, right? Like we have to be vulnerable. We have to take a lot of emotional risk. And for myself and a lot of us in this community, that's very hard to do, especially when you don't know even what your own emotions are. Like, this is a brave new world for you in terms of just an emotional level. And now you're asking me to communicate with somebody about my emotions who I might not feel connected with. And they're going to want a right away answer. Like, you really do have to prepare yourself for some kind of bigger conversations. And you have to be okay with saying, I don't know. And your partner needs to be okay with hearing, I don't know. Like, you're really asking them to go along for a ride and you're not exactly sure where you're going to end up.
And again, going back to the original foundation, right, of friendship and feeling connected, if you feel connected and you feel you have that friend, your strength of your friendship is there, how more, if Jason came to me right now and says, hey bro, let's go to this ride, we about to go do something, like, come on. I'm like, what? He's like, I don't know, like, we're just gonna go do something. I'm more willing to go along with him and just go for the ride than I probably, if April, you came to me, you know, before us meeting and was just like, hey, come with me. What? Like, yeah. Who are you? Like, yeah. Why am I going with you? Why am I going to do that? It goes back to that friendship. The more you connected you feel, the more willing you're willing to take that risk and do something that's unknown to you and scary for you. And I was going to say, like, you know, the added side of it for you guys, which is, again, just thinking about everything else you're going to, but it is a must if you want your relationship to work, is being able to also be willing to understand and validate your spouse as well, right? Like, you need the understanding and validation. You need to be heard. You need to have these things met. And a relationship is two ways. Like, you have to be willing to sit down and validate and understand them, so that they will come with you on this unknown journey of what the hell is going to happen, because we don't know, right? But if all they're trying to do, at some point, we're only human. If your spouse is trying to understand and validate you, but they're not getting anything in return, at some point it's going to break, because we need it. Like, yes, I understand you're going through these amazing changes, and I'm still human too, right? Like, I still need understanding and validation. So it's just another added thing that, yes, it's going to take work. It's going to be a lot of work. And it's like, you know, again, the more I learn about it, I'm like, it's crazy how much goes into it, right? But it's possible. That's the thing. Like, it's possible. If you want your relationship to work, it's possible.
Yeah, that's one of the things April doesn't really realize. April or Grady, either one, but they kind of started the trend of the spouses and the supports coming together to these meetups for the other that wasn't involved in the surgery. Because at Tacoma, there was only like one other person that brought their spouse with them. And after that, Whitney started bringing Bob. You started bringing Grady. You know, it was just kind of one of those. And then Megan brought Josh. Like, it's one of those things. And Jim brought Matt. Like, you have to think about it. Like, these people that are not involved in bariatrics started coming in as the support groups because they knew it was okay. Once they looked around and saw, oh, shit, it's cool because they have support and they're bringing them. So I want to bring my support next time we do something. So it was really cool to see more people get involved, because I look at it in a way that it's only going to strengthen that connection, not only for, you know, the couple side of things, but their support of their spouse in their bariatric journey. Because once they see everything that goes into it, because from the outside, you look at it and you're just like, oh, you went through surgery, you're going to lose some weight and it's going to be, you know, it's cool. You're going to be a different, you're going to look way different. But they don't realize the struggle that it is to actually go through the process until they go and listen to people talk about it. When you're just inundated with people around you and you're just listening to the stories of other people and the treks and the things, now it's getting to a point where the spouses that haven't had surgery kind of click up together and talk about what it's like and their struggle. So it's kind of, they've kind of created their own support group of what it's like to be around patients and not be a patient, and how they can support their spouses, and what it's like when somebody goes up and does a 2-hour support group and then comes back. And it's like, you know, they kind of commiserate on losing the time, but also how they can support and how important it is for them to have that time. So I'm one of the fortunate people that, you know, my wife had the surgery, so she was supportive of me from day one, and kind of vice versa. We did the same thing. We teamed up on it, but I know a lot of people don't have that luxury. So it was awesome for me to see how that kind of came about in its inception to what it's become now.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, Jason, your heart would have been so happy when I don't know what event it was, but after whatever, something happened, Grady made an Instagram account, and Grady's handle was after Tacoma. It was after Tacoma, and his handle is Gredman Bopra. There's a very hilarious story that goes along with that. But his bio says he's the CEO and founder of the Berry Pack, and he's Berry Nation's number one fan. He literally created this name for people who are spouses and friends and supporters of bariatric patients, and they call themselves the Berry Pack.
That's super dope.
Bob was here with Whitney over the weekend, and you know, we're very fortunate to spend his birthday with him. And yeah, they were talking one night, and you know, Grady's like, "Oh yeah, you got to be in the berry pack, but only I can let you in," you know. And he takes ownership of it now, and like he wants to be the leader of the berry pack. And it is really cool to see, you know, all of these partners, especially as someone who is single, to know that that's possible, to know that you can do the work, like you said, Derek, that those people will want to support you, but you just have to be vulnerable and you have to have those tough conversations, and it will happen, but you do have to do the work.
Why do you think that and I'm going to ask y'all a question again, is why do you think that, and there may be, again, correct me if I'm wrong, but from talking to Jason, my understanding is there's not a lot of pre-surgery marital work, right? Oh. Like we have this knowledge that, you know, 80% of post-op, you know, ends in marriages to end in divorce. Why is there not a lot of pre-op marital work? Why is there not a lot of emphasis on that relationship and working on those things prior to ripping all that away?
There's a few reasons behind that. A, it's like there's not a lot of emphasis on any of the mental aspect pre or post-op, because I firmly believe they just don't, like, there's enough shit that goes into it that will scare 90% of the people off that want to have the surgery. So they get you through it on the one side, and that's why we try to do as much as we can on the backside, because they legit bring you in, rip your stomach out, kick you out the door once your check clears, and be like, "All right, man, check up with me in like 6 months." And you're just kind of out there wandering around like, "What the fuck? Like, what just happened?" Like, and for people, what I see a lot of in people that I've just kind of noticed recently is, like what you're saying, doing the work is, you can't just expect your spouse to come along with you or understand what's going on without you letting them in behind the curtain to see exactly what goes into it. So many people are just like, "Well, I'm struggling. You're just going to have to deal with it. Let me do what I got to do, and I'm going to be over here." And so that spouse is left out like, what if I want to help you? You can't help me because you don't know what I'm going through. And they just kind of boop over here and do, you know, I'm going to go where people understand. And they just kind of do that. Right. And I understand the aspect of really wanting and needing the support. That's fantastic. But a lot of people just pull the chutes on what could be more support in-house without even stopping to be like, "Hey, let me sit down with you and explain to you what's going on." Because you don't want to be, you're already going through so many, but it's almost like going through puberty again with the emotions you go through post-op. You're flooded with shit. Wow. And you don't understand it. You don't understand the mental aspect. You don't understand what you're going through, the hormones, everything you're feeling, and you can't grab onto your support blanket, which was food. You can't go back to food because that's what you always did, because you don't have the stomach capacity for it. So when you really break it down, if you would slow down, stop and say, "Hey, let me let you in on this, on what's going on with me," because it does take, you know, you wanting to be vulnerable and letting them peek behind a curtain that you may have had really closed really tightly for a very long time. So when you get to that point, I think there would be a lot more success and a lot less issues with it if people were more open to that from the beginning, even pre-op, taking people along step by step through their journeys, because a lot of people just feel like the support won't be there, so they don't even try.
I think it comes down to three things. You go into surgery as a patient, you think it, and most bariatric surgeons believe it too. The only thing you will need to live at a happy, healthy weight, to lose the weight, is surgery. That's all you need. So as soon as you realize as a patient, "Oh shit, I need more than surgery," you panic and you think something's wrong with you. So why would I share that surgery was not enough when everybody said that surgery was supposed to be enough? The second misconception is that, right, obesity is a decision, not a disease, right? This is the misconception that we have, and it's completely false. Obesity is a disease. It is not a decision. So until we switch that disease mentality, other people in our lives and us themselves are not going to access the care in the disease model, right, of that mentality. And for so long, so many of us believe that our obesity is disconnected from everything else that's going on in our lives, right? So when you go into it with those three mentalities, there is no reason that you would ever need to work on your marriage before going into this because, right, it doesn't have, my obesity is not connected to any of these other facets of my life. But very soon after surgery, for some of us, basically the minute you wake up and you're laying in the hospital and you start starting to reckon with exactly how deeply food has been controlling your life, do you realize, oh my God, this is going to impact every single facet of my life. And it is terrifying. So when you got a mountain of work staring in front of you, like you said, what's the thing that's going to go? What's the thing that feels least connected to me? What's the biggest time suck?
Well, what's the biggest energy drain? Like, you know, I always think about like when you're rowing, like if you're in a canoe, you know, and you have like three people in a canoe, I think of that as like, you know, parts of your life. And if one of those parts is not rowing, that canoe is heavy. That's a heavy canoe. You know, and so it's like, well, are you going to stick around or are you going to get rowing? Like, you know, not to put it so bluntly, but you start thinking about that, like, is this person in the canoe helping me or hindering me?
Yep.
And that's where you get that flight or fight.
Yep. And that's such a great metaphor, Nat, because I think, right, we're going through our lives paddling, just doing whatever we possibly can do to get through it, right? And then all of a sudden we have surgery. And before surgery, we could never look back to see who was actually in the canoe or how much they were paddling, right? Because all you could do was just this, right? This is all you could do. And all of a sudden after surgery, like, I can really paddle. Oh, I got a different paddle stroke, right? All this stuff. And all of a sudden you look back and you're like, have you been doing that the whole time? The whole time you've just been... Right. And then you're mad at them and you're mad at you because you never took the time to look back. Right. You're just like, what have I been doing for the last decade of my life? And then you get this sense of like, shit, I only have so many more years left. I can't waste a single one of it. Either you pick up the pace, bro, or like you're out. You know, like because you have the energy and the capacity and your brain's functioning right and your hormones are stabilized and food is like an afterthought and you're just like, oh my God, I have to do all the things with all of this energy and all of this capacity because I couldn't do it before. And now I can. So as a patient, you have this renewed zest for a different life. But the person in the canoe didn't get that memo. And how do you bring them along? How do you be like, oh, by the way, new canoe, new river, new paddle, new air, like, oh, are you doing this or are we not? Because I'm doing this and I'm not going to wait any longer. Disconnect.
Which one of the levels of the sound relationship house is shared life meaning, right? And prior to our surgery, I can imagine you had a certain shared life meaning together in your relationship. And post-surgery, now it's completely different. And so how do we get, again, a shared life meaning? That's the top of the house, you know, and share our dream, be able to share our dreams and our hopes and our wishes with one another, and then create a new life meaning, a shared life meaning together with you, one person being post-surgery in most cases, the other person not being. I mean, that's difficult to get to because prior to getting to that, you got to figure out how to handle conflict, right? And learn to handle conflict. And it's a lot of work. And again, you got so much work on your shoulders. Do I want to put that work in? It's hard.
Well, Derek, it sounds like you're going to have to come back on the podcast and talk about the house and then how we build the house.
Yeah.
Because we could keep recording for 10 hours.
Easy. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So, Derek, for somebody that's listening and let's say they're pre or they're post-op and they're worried about how do I bring along somebody that I either feel connected to, or I want to be more connected to. What's like the number one piece of advice that you could give them for continuing or strengthening this relationship, right? As they go through the bariatric process.
Yeah. So, I mean, So I'll say this, because there's a whole lot there, right? So download the, there's an app called the Gottman, G-O-T-T-M-A-N, Card Dex, right? And in that app, there's a bunch of different card decks, like the name says. But there's one called Love Maps, one called Opportunity Exercises, Rituals of Connection, and open-ended questions. And just start doing those with your spouse. Just go to the basics, really start focusing on your friendship, you're feeling connected to one another. Start working on that. Again, that's not gonna solve everything, right? There's so much more to that needs to be done. But if you just like want something simple, like that would be where to start. Post that, I would say, you know, that get it with a couples therapist. That's gonna be vital, obviously, right? Like, yeah. Got it. If you want to do the work, right? If you don't, you don't, right? Like, I tell all my couples that come in, like, if divorce is an option, we put it on the table in the beginning. I say, look, either we talk about divorce, we look at what that looks like. We consider it, we process it, we really dig into it and see if that's really the option you want to go, or we take it completely off the table and we do the work and we can't bring divorce back up again. Because if divorce is an option, there's no where you already have one foot out, right? So you have to make the decision if you want to do the work, because it's going to be a lot of hard work on top of all the other hard work you're already doing, right? So that's going to be a decision you have to make. But get with a couples therapist that can really help navigate and guide. I obviously recommend a Gottman therapist, somebody who's been trained in the Gottman therapy method. But there's all sorts of stuff. There's intensives you can do. Like I give these 16-hour intensives where a couple comes into me and the first day we do a deep dive into the relationship. We do a bunch of assessments, get a real in-depth history. We look at all the multiple layers that are challenges in a relationship and then develop some, you know, kind of a plan to work on, because every relationship is going to be different. You know, my relationship with my wife is completely different than your relationship with Grady, right? Mm-hmm. That's your husband's name, Grady, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Which is different from Sarah and Jason, you know what I mean? So, but the first day we just do an assessment and everything, and the second day is all therapy. And what the research shows is that kind of like a teapot, like the teapot, the pressure's all the way up, it's whistling. And most of the time with like weekly sessions, you may be able to get a little bit of the pressure off, but by the time next week comes, the pressure's back up. But the intensive really lets a lot of the pressure out. So now you can do it, like you can go and do the work on your own. But it's 2 days and it just, again, that sigh, right? Where we get a lot of it out. And at the end of it, it's like, do we want to do this or don't we? We're not going to spend the next 6, 7, 8, 9 months battling and fighting and, you know, and going back and forth. Like after 2 days of intensive, do we want to do this or do we not? Like, it's going to be a lot simpler, but most people, by the time the intensive is done, the way that it works is it really focuses on that connection and then getting into that deep stuff so that by the end of it, you want to keep working. You want to keep working, you know, going together. So multiple things that you can do. It depends on how much work, you know, how much you want to do it. But the very simplistic thing is that Gottman card decks and start doing the love map questions and looking for ways to connect, the rituals of connection, opportunity exercises or like opportunities to go out and connect and go on dates and different things like that. And then open-ended questions is just like the question, you know, open-ended questions, right? Just to get to know the person, right?
Yeah.
That'd be the most simple thing I would say.
And I would imagine, go for it now.
I was just going to say for those listening and wanting to pursue Gottman, is there a website they can go to for, you know, married couples therapists that are in their area? Is there like a...
Yeah, so Gottman.com. Okay. I believe is what it is, Gottman.com, and it'll have a drop down for couples, and it has a link that'll take you to where you can geographically search people in your area and find a therapist that's trained in Gottman.
That's cool. And we'll make sure that we link it. We'll verify all the links and we will get that in our show notes. So if you're interested in exploring that, we will definitely make sure that that's true. And I think really what's like true at the base of all of this is that you have to be willing to kind of have an honest conversation with yourself first as the patient, right? Understand what your non-negotiables are. And then you have to be willing to just be brutally honest with your person that you want to be connected with, be that a spouse, a boyfriend, a girlfriend, a friend, a family member, right? Like just being a little bit vulnerable and just being okay with saying like, I think this is what I need. I don't know if it's going to be the right thing, but I'm asking for your support as we go along. And in exchange, what I need to do is then tell the person what you're learning out of the things that you're doing. Like you have to communicate back to them. That's how you remain connected. That's how you start that connection. That's how you build that friendship.
Well, and that's also how you gain the buy-in of the person that is, you know, like you said, a lot, you know, quote unquote, allowing you, the person that's letting you sacrifice time with them for something greater that you've sold to them to let them know this is what I need to be doing. And so for them to know that there's a payoff in that is going to, you know, get them to buy into what it is you're doing. Because if you just continue to do it, and nothing changes, they're going to be like, well, what the hell are you doing with your time? Like, why is this a thing that you have to do if nothing's changing?
Yep. And really this conversation is just coming perfectly for me. I mean, we had a packed, Nat and I, you and I, we had a packed weekend with Barry friends, and we were connecting and we were doing all that really great stuff. Well, then the following Sunday night, I got to spend time with some of my OG friends, right? And both of them shared things with me. And I was like, oh my God, I had no idea you were struggling with this. Like I just looked at them both and I was like, oh my God, you guys, I'm really sorry. I feel really disconnected and I really feel like a freaking horrible ass friend because I don't know these things. And their response was nothing but kindness. And it was like, we know what you're doing. It's okay. But we get this time together and we get to connect and we keep it rolling. But right, what we're talking about applies more to just spouses. This is friendship at its core. No matter who you want to connect with, friendship is at the very core of that relationship. Well, Derek, where can people follow you if they want to connect?
So yeah, the giant therapist. I'm focused on TikTok right now. I know I wasn't supposed to say the T word.
You can say it.
Yeah, I'm focusing on TikTok right now. I'm going to get on Instagram and start really pushing Instagram. But and then on Facebook, just search the giant therapist. I'm on there as well. So trying to get better at doing more content. I just started it like about a month and a half ago. So there's not much on there yet. But I'm trying to get that out there and get that up because I enjoy it. So and I want to get more information like this out there, you know.
It's definitely needed and necessary. It's conversations that we have all the time in and out of the Berry Nation community. People want to really focus on their relationships. They want to either create these connected, you know, meaningful relationships, or they want to repair their relationships. And it's one of the most common questions that we get asked. So we're just so thankful for your time and for your expertise and for your willingness to also be like, you know what, this is kind of my first foray into bariatrics, but it sounds a lot like this. Yeah. Yes, it is. Yeah. Yes, it is.
And yep. The next conversation, we'll talk about repair because we didn't even talk about that. That's a key of a good relationship is how do you repair once you do have a conflict, right? How do you, so that's even a whole nother conversation that we can get into. But yeah, if anybody has questions, reach out to me on one of the platforms. If somebody wants, you know, is interested in working with me that I don't know about that's here or whatever, like just hit me up, ask me questions, whatever. I'll do my best I can to try to help. So yeah, just let me know.
Awesome. Thank you so much. This has just been, oh my God, like
amazing.
Amazing. Amazing.
I appreciate y'all having me on. This was super dope.
Oh, well, you're going to be on a lot in the future. So just clear your calendar now. I'm just going to tell you.
I'm down.
Maybe a series is in order. So
I'm definitely down. Yeah,
series, definitely. Class, podcast, seminar, struggle, but like all the things.
For sure. Right? I'm definitely down.
Awesome. Well, Ms. Nat, is there anything that you'd like people to know about the Berry Nation membership community?
Of course. Well, this season, we are recording this right now, as you can see by my background and April's background. It is Christmas. It is one of the most happiest times of the year. And we at Berry Nation are having a sale on our membership right now. Our membership community is full of, I think, over 200 members at this point.
Oh, well over 200 members.
Yes. So there's hundreds now, I can say that, hundreds of bariatric patients ready to connect with you. There are about 100 classes, meetups, support groups every single month. Literally, time is not enough. We need 30 hours in a day. It's just flat out. So there's a lot there for you. If you would like to check us out, try us out, see if our support is right for you, you can sign up for Bari Nation. And you will lock in the price that we have now, which is $29 a month, before it goes up to
$39. Mm-hmm. January 1.
Make sure I got it right. So yeah, January 1st, we are bumping up the price. So if you'd like to lock in that price now, you can do that. You can try us out 2 weeks free and then have that price locked in. And we also have a year membership for, correct me, April, what is it? I'm not good with numbers.
It's $250, and that brings your monthly cost to just $21 a month. It's literally less than a copay. It's less than like office visits, and you can access hundreds of hours of support for like an unheard of membership fee.
So there's a lot there for you. There's a lot continuing to grow. We're just constantly adding new experts, new patients, new peer-to-peer support just for all of you and for us. So if that's something you're interested in learning more about, you can head over to barrynation.com and see if it works for you.
Yep. And you can always send us a direct message. We're happy to have a conversation about our amazing community before you commit to your free trial. So there's support every step of the way, we promise you. Jason, my friend, you want to take us out?
Yes, ma'am. Ladies, I thank you guys for joining me tonight on this adventure into the relationship talk. Derek, we appreciate you, your time, your knowledge, your willingness to open up and talk to us has been amazing. To the community, we could not do what we do without you guys. We thank you so much for being the same support for us that we give to you guys. We can't thank you enough for that. The likes, the shares, the follows, the subscribes, all the things help in the end to help get the word out. So we appreciate you for that. Don't forget, you can also leave us ratings and reviews on your favorite podcast players, as well as our YouTube channel. You can also go to the Anchor app and leave us voice messages, which we can incorporate into future episodes, because we love shouting you guys out as much as possible. And just remember, at the end of the day, you've got this, we've got you, and we'll see you next time.
Awesome. Thanks, friends. Thanks, Derek.
Bye, everybody.
See ya.